Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Come on in, come on in, come on in. And this is Overseer Timothy Jackson. Amen. We'll be waiting for Elder Bazaar, the Watchman on the Wall, to come in. And on the Watchman on the Wall show, amen, we're just now getting started. Amen. We talked to the brother earlier, so, amen, I know he's getting ready to come on here pretty soon. But in the meantime, amen, we're going to get the show started. We're grateful for everyone being here. It's been a great and awesome day. Amen. Got to preach this morning, preach the gospel. Amen. At the church this morning. Amen. So now we are here again to bring you the gospel over the airways. Amen. Such a blessing to be here. And I say, for one, it's a blessing to be in the land of the living, to be in good health and strength. Amen. And like my dad used to always say, as long as you're alive, you have opportunity. So even if you're not in the best of health, at least you are here. Amen. And while you're alive on this earth, you do have opportunity. And I'm grateful for my life, soul, health, and strength for what it is. Amen. Not what I used to be, but I'm grateful that I'm still here through his grace and mercy, because we know that we are all fragile. Amen. We are very fragile beings. It don't take much, amen, for us to be in a very bad situation. But because of his grace and his mercy and looking out for us, amen, God is watching over us, and we are grateful for that. So with that being said, amen, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer. Amen. Like I said, hopefully the Watchman on the Wall will be here soon, and I guess we'll go ahead and get started. Let's go ahead and say a prayer. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thank you for another blessed day. Thank you for our life, soul, health, and strength. Thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the saints that are gathered here. We thank you for those that have received salvation, as well as those that have not received salvation. Amen. We pray that their contemplation may not be too long. Heavenly Father, we pray that they go ahead and accept salvation. Let them know this will be the best decision that they will ever make in their existence, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you for life itself. Thank you for my wife and children. Most of all, I thank you for my eternal salvation, my eternal life. Again, we pray that your Holy Spirit come in and bless your people, that all flesh be removed, that we get into the Spirit. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. Hopefully the brother will sneak in here soon. Amen. I wouldn't anticipate, amen, on coming on there just right away. Amen. I was actually getting some dinner that had just came in a little late, so I thought I'd try to get some dinner in before we got on the air. Amen. I wouldn't expect to have to come on there and get the show started, but nonetheless, it's okay. It's all good. Things happen, and we have to stay ready. Amen. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to talk about, amen,
all right, seven, go ahead, Tim. Go ahead.
Amen. There goes the doctor. There,
go
I knew he was coming in.
But you go ahead. Start it off. Watchman on the Wall.
Amen. Watchman on the Wall. Amen. We're going to talk about the seven churches today. We're going to talk about the church being gathered together before the tribulation. Amen. I know that I talked about that this morning at church. We have some people out there that don't really believe that. And that is just hard for me to fathom, that people actually go to church and actually will believe that God is going to allow the church to go through the great tribulation. There's no scripture in the Bible that supports that. I've looked, I've searched. I'm still looking. I really don't look as much because I just know that that's not true. But it just amazed me that there are people out there that go to church. There are people, we actually call themselves pastors, that believe that the church will go through the wrath of God. I tell you right now, to me that makes no sense. Amen. That makes
Amen.
No sense. Amen. Let me share the scripture with you. I read it yesterday. I said it yesterday on my show. I'm going to say it again today. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Let me see if I can go there real quick. 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, verse 11. Let's see what it says. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, there we go. 5th chapter, verse 11. This is what it says. That's what Paul wrote. He said, knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We study, we read, we research, we pray, we ask God, we ask God through his spirit to reveal things to us that we may warn the church. That is our job. If your preachers and pastors in your church are not talking about revelation, I don't understand why they're not. It doesn't make any sense to me that they're not mentioning it. It doesn't matter how much limited knowledge you have on revelation. You need to start preaching and teaching to your congregation about revelation. But some people are so caught up into other things like self-gain, self-interest, that they're not concerned about warning the church. Christ gave John this message, the book of Revelation. It was to warn the churches. The first three chapters of Revelation is about the church. It's about Christ warning us through John. He gave John. He showed John. He took John up in the spirit and showed him things that he didn't write, want John to write. He said, don't write. Things he didn't want John to reveal, John didn't reveal. But we have enough information to know, to watch the seasons and the times, to know that the time is near for our Lord to return to get the church. And why preachers and pastors are not teaching this, why a lot of your mega church pastors, I have yet to hear, other than John Hagee, he's about the only one that would mention Revelation. I have not heard any of these others. Even now, even still right now today, knowing what we know is going on in the world, they're still not talking about it. Gas prices are rising. People are getting kicked out of their homes and out of their apartments. Groceries, people are scarce on groceries. People don't have money for groceries. People are steady getting laid off on jobs. I heard that Carvana, which is a car company online, they laid off some of their employees. And I'm sure that they came to a shock because most of them, they lay you off. There's hardly any warnings. They just kind of come and say, okay, guys, you guys are all dismissed. We're sending you home. We may give you a service package, but you're all being laid off. I kind of remember when I got laid off from Chase many years ago, we kind of saw it coming. They did have some courtesy in letting us know that they were going to make a decision whether to keep us or not. And so the good thing about it was they did kind of give us a little heads up. Regardless of what we thought we were going to be there. The point being is that all these things are happening in the world today, and we need to warn the people. So this is what the scripture is saying. This is why we persuade men. We are persuading you because why? But we are made manifest unto God. It is made. We are made known. Amen.
That's right.
God put something in all of us. Every single person that's on this planet know that there's a God. Don't let them tell you different. I've talked to atheists and folks who say they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Christ. I even had some people say something silly like, I don't believe in that junk. Excuse me, amen, that I don't believe in that garbage. People are going to go to that extent to say those things to you.
Come on now.
And you know, you remain humble, and you just pray for them and you love them because we know what's about to happen. We know
yes.
that God's judgments and punishments are soon to hit this planet. Amen. If they are gone on from this world, they've lost the opportunity to receive salvation.
Yes.
It says, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Here's the thing. Amen. Here's the thing. We know about the terror of God. Amen. The example
Amen.
That I like to use about the terror of God, I have yet to see a man or a woman stand out in the rain while it's thundering and lightning outside and to just act like they were bold towards God out in the open field while it's thundering. I'm talking about really, really thundering lightning. I ain't seen no man do it yet. It's one thing. Amen, dog. Yep. It's one thing to play, but it's also another thing to play with God. My dad used to always tell me, you don't play with God. He used to always tell us, all us boys, he used to always tell us, you don't play with God. You play with your friends. You play with your dog. You play with your video game. You play games, but you don't play with God. Amen.
You play with God.
Amen. You don't play with God. And when you reject God, that's exactly what you're doing. You are playing with your soul. And us knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We want you to become saved. Time is running out.
Just yesterday,
thousands, tens of thousands of people left this planet. We'll never see this life or the light of day again on this side.
Lord, have mercy.
And tonight, before we hit midnight, tens of thousands of people today will be left this earth. People are dying by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. They say hundreds of thousands of people die every single day. Lord, have mercy. You don't know when your time is going to be up. You don't know the day hour when you're going to leave this earth. You don't know how long you got. I don't know how long I got. That's why over 22 years ago, April 15, 2000, I made up my mind. Even before then, I made up my mind. You know what? I'm a young man in my 20s, but I may not live to see my 30s. I may not live to see my 40s or my 50s. I gave my life to Christ as a young man. I wasn't really, really young, but I was young enough. I was in my 20s. And I said that I don't want to leave this world. Lord, have mercy. Don't you know that's a horrible feeling for somebody to preach the gospel to you? And tell you and people just pleading with you, brother, sister, receive Christ. Almost
Amen.
That some of us will beg you. Don't, like the brother say, go to Timbuktu, go to London, go to Paris, go to Tokyo, go to Las Vegas.
Come on.
But don't go to hell.
Don't go to hell. Come on.
Don't go to hell.
Don't go to hell.
People in hell right now that wish they can get this back. They wish they get just a minute just to confess with their mouth and to believe in their heart and to say, I'm saved. They wish they can come back. They wish that their family and friends and even their enemies don't even come to hell. Now, you know
Lord,
that's bad, doctor. When you don't want folks that you don't like to even come here, they'll tell you right now, you can go anywhere. You can go to space. But don't go to hell.
Come on, don't go.
Don't go to hell.
Don't go
that
to hell.
That lightning that comes out of that thunder and lightning ain't nothing to play with.
Nothing.
And I use that example to let you know the terror of the Lord. Man, let me tell you, I'm 49 years old. I'm a full-grown man. But when it thunders, I still remember when my dad, I don't play. When it thunders, I come out I'm laying down.
Uh-huh.
Amen. No, I'm laying down. I don't play with God. When it goes to thunder, oh, brother, I'm coming in the house. I'd be out there watering my yard. I'd be doing anything in the yard. As soon as I hear a little thunder, I'm going in the house. I don't play.
No,
I don't play. I don't, brother. I've heard people get hit by light in the open field. I heard folks got limbs blown off. People done got the body parts blown off. People got struck playing golf. After trying to play golf, got struck by lightning. Now, why don't you have a metal rod in your hand and you hear it thunder because it's 10 miles away? Man, let me tell you something. You don't play with God. That's the terror of God. Amen. So,
amen.
We are speaking on the return of Christ soon. We know that the church, after Revelation, the third chapter, is no longer mentioned. This is how we know that the church will not be here. I told them that this morning. It's a blessing to know that we won't even be here when the tribulation kicks off.
Come on.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We want to be here. Let me get into some scriptures.
I'd
like to read the Bible to let you know what the Bible said. Philadelphia and Laodicea were the last two churches mentioned in Revelation 1 through 3. They were the last two churches of the seven churches. One church, there was no condemnation. The other church, there was still condemnation.
Yes, it is.
And in each context of the scripture, Christ says, I know thy works. Revelation 3 and 8, Revelation 3 and 15. Christ said to each church, I know your works. Christ knows your works. He knows if you're a loving person, if you show love. He knows if you got love in your heart. He knows if you're real.
Amen.
Or he knows if you're faking. Amen. Christ said, I know your works. I know if you believe in me or not. You go out to church and fool everybody else. You know, you can look good, sound good, talk good, speak eloquently, smell good, dress good, drive a nice car, got money in the bank. But he said, I know thy works. Christ knows us. If nobody else knows you, God knows you. And you won't be able to put one over on God. We talked about this Wednesday night, how so many souls are lost. I told you, tens of thousands of people leave this world. They say over 100,000 to 200,000 people die every day on this planet. Souls just leaving this world. Just last week, I think they said over 10 people or 11 people was killed up there in a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. Who knew when they woke up that morning? Do you think any of them said that they was going to die that day? I highly doubt it. Not too many people will wake up looking forward to death. This is a reality. We don't have time to play with our souls and guess if I'm going to get saved. I just spoke to a young man just yesterday, and he told me, I don't receive Christ. I won't receive Christ. That's what he said, I won't receive Christ. And I asked him, I said, is there a reason? He said, I'm the reason. I said, okay. I left it at that. Because the Bible says, cast not pearls among the swine. I could throw all my Bible knowledge at him. I could throw all the scriptures and all my years of teaching and training and just spiritual knowledge that I got from God at him. And don't you know that some people are just not going to receive God?
Yes,
it don't matter what
Lord,
you do. We can try to persuade all we want, but we don't twist people's arm. They have it's their right to refuse or to accept Christ. That is their right. God gives you that right to choose. But God said, if you choose me not, it says it. Look over in St. John, the third chapter. I'm going to go there real quick. I'm going to tell you what the scripture says. I'm going to show you what the Bible says. Like I said, I don't like to just be talking too much because folks say, oh, well, he said, no, let me show you what the Bible says. It ain't about what I say. It's about what God said. St. John, the third chapter, verse 36. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's simple.
Come on.
Like I told him in church this morning, salvation is the easiest thing you'll ever do. Getting saved is the easiest thing you will ever do. And it
Come
is
on.
The greatest decision you can ever make. All you simply have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And Paul said, thou shalt be saved. That's what the scripture said. Christ said, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Ain't that what the Bible says, brother?
Amen.
That's what the book says. I can't make this up. I'm not that smart to make this type of stuff up. I'm only telling you what the Bible says. Paul said it. It's just that simple to get saved. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Is more easier. Watch this. Is more easier than you learning your ABCs and your one.
Come on.
I promise you. It's easier. When you didn't know your ABCs, I remember I used to get a spanking. If I missed a letter, my mom made me start to get a spanking. Hey, man, brother, laughing. But I'm for real. My mom was a school teacher. That's why I'm saying my mom didn't play. She was a school teacher. And if I missed the numbers, she'd give me a spank. Hit that hand. Give me that hand. And mama didn't play, she'd whoop your butt. Amen. That's just real. Amen. And so me getting saved was easier than me learning my ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. Amen. All I
Amen.
Had to do with my mouth and believe in my heart. But watch what the Bible says. Watch what John says. Watch what the book of St. John says. And he that believeth not, this is the unbeliever, watch this. He that believeth not the Son. In other words, if you don't believe in Christ, you don't believe in Yahshua, if you believe not the Son, shall not see life. In other words, you won't receive eternal life. The young man yesterday was talking about he was spiritual. All the young folks now talking about they spiritual, and they believe in the eternity. And he said that he hope he's good enough to live for all. I said, brother, I get what you're saying. Trust me, I do. Because I don't try to down nobody, you know, what they believe. But I said, you know what? It's true that we are spiritual beings. That is true. Meaning that we will live outside this body one day. Life is going to continue if you close your eyes on this side. And it is true that there is an eternity after this life. That is a fact, brother. You are on track. You really are. So you're right about that. But we have to choose in this life what direction we're going to go when we leave this world. We either go to the left or we can go to the right. One is that you're going to either decide to live with God for all eternity, or you're going to live without God for all eternity. And
Lord,
not Christ, Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy.
Not to live for all eternity. And you have to pay. Amen. You have to pay.
Amen.
The lake of fire and hell is real. It's a choice. But he said that he will not receive Christ. Young man. And so, we have to pray. I told him that I loved him. I'm praying for him, and I pray that doors open for him. I don't wish him no harm or anything bad because he said what he said. Amen. We know that certain things have happened in people's lives that have caused them to come to a point. Someone did something or said something, or they seen something or something happened to just cause people to reject Christ. Especially when you've been in church most of your life. This is why it's important that we teach salvation, that we rightly divide the word, that our focus be on souls, salvation, and love, not self-gain, not self-interest, because we're losing people. Whether they be young or old, we're losing people every day. And the Bible says that hell shall enlarge itself.
Lord,
that's real. Hell shall enlarge itself. And my heart goes out to him, even still today. Because I know the young man. I've been knowing him since he was a teenager. Know his family. And so, we are praying for him. Because I don't want to see nobody lost. But we know that the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, it didn't say few. It didn't say a small number. It didn't say at least amount. It said, and many there be which go in thereat. That means that many souls will be lost. More souls will be lost than saved. More people will go to the lake of fire than folks will be saved. That is a very sad thing.
Yeah,
that is a very sad thing. If we gave you the numbers of the church, people attending churches, more like those that are saved are less than 30%. What do you think of the world? That number is much more small. I mean, you talking about just a small number in the church. That number diminishes when you add the world, the people who rejected God. We ain't talking about people who just attend church every day or every Sunday. So great. That number is humongous. To say the least.
Yes, Lord.
Many souls will be lost. That means that most of the people that you encounter in your life, most of the people that you know, most of the people that's probably in your family, friends, and in your circle are going to be lost. I'm not saying all of them. Your whole entire household may be blessed to be saved. Amen? That's a good thing.
Amen, brother.
But when you begin to expand your world to friends, enemies, people you work with, people you associate with, people that you encounter, that number begins to diminish. There's going to be a lot of people that we have met in this life that's not going to make it. And when we will see them at the great white throne judgment, they must stand before the great judge We will witness this. We're going to actually, just like you watch a game or an event or you watch your television, we're going to sit here and watch that, and Christ is going to judge them on their life. Lord,
ooh,
have mercy.
Lord Jesus.
Man.
Lord Jesus.
And I tell you, I say to people all the time, I don't want to be on that side. That's the side I don't want to be on. You don't want to be at the great white throne of judgment getting judged. You want to get judged at the Bema seat. That's the
thank
judgment
you,
you want to make it to. Amen. Where you get
amen,
rewards and, you, and he show you love and he say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You want to graduate from this life into eternal life. That's what I'm saying. You want to graduate from this life into eternal life. But at the end of that thousand-year reign, after we reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and Christ is going to call up the dead, Lord have mercy. Can you
Lord,
imagine
have mercy.
That? This earth probably going to just shake. All them bodies are going to be called up out of hell. They're going to be called up out the grave. He's going to call them souls up out of hell. They're going to go up into space. We're just going to be just up there. Ain't going to be
yes,
nothing
sir.
To sustain
yes,
you. Ain't going to be nowhere to hide. Ain't going to be nobody. Ain't going to be no mama, no daddy, no big mama, no big dad. And you got to stand before Christ on your own two feet and be judged. Lord, have mercy. And
come
my
on.
Soul goes out to the people of this world that is lost because it's not a joke. I hear people
no
all the time. I listen to people. And people take, you know, people so much. I don't know where this spiritual stuff come from. I'm spiritual. I remember I said that to a young lady a long time ago, but I guess she didn't really get what I was saying. What I was saying to her is that I'm spiritual, meaning that I'm connected to the source. I'm connected to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Not that I'm just a spiritual being and I walk believing that I'm a good person. That's not going to get you into heaven. There are so many people who think that I'm a spiritual person. I believe in the eternities. You know that's some stuff that Satan will use to trick people.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you don't have to believe in the blood. You don't have to believe in the cross. You don't have to believe in Christ. Just say you're a spiritual person and that you believe in eternity. And I'm just thinking to myself, Lord, have mercy. The devil's he's fighting. He's fighting until he
yeah.
till it's
yeah.
over with. He's trying to get as many souls into hell as he possibly can. And he'll use any trick in the book. At this point, he's throwing everything at you. And this is why we are doing what we can. To teach the word, to preach the word. We want folks saved. We want to know that you're loved. We love you. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait till tomorrow. My dad used to always say that. He said, don't put off today for tomorrow. He used to always say at the end of his sermon, don't put off today for tomorrow. Will you come? Salvation, wait. God,
ooh,
Christ is waiting
thank
for
you.
You.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you,
Heavenly Father. Yes. Yes, that's what he said. I'm going to come back in a little bit, and I'm going to talk about the Laodicean church. But I want
all
to share
right.
with you, amen, about the church of Philadelphia.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The church of brotherly love. Amen. It was a church that was found with no condemnation. What do you say? What do you say? Amen. And so with that being said, amen, I'm going to conclude and hand over to the brother. Amen. We don't want you to be lost. If you have this opportunity today, we are asking you. Amen. My job, like I told
amen.
The young man yesterday, my job is not really to persuade you. My job is just to put it out there and give you the best that I have. But it's up to you to receive it. But if you just flat out reject Christ, there's nothing more that I can do for you but pray. That's all that I can do for you. So we love you all. I'm going to turn over to the brother. Brother, go ahead and give him what you got, and I'll be back. Amen. Go ahead, doctor.
We on the same frequency, brother Jackson.
Amen.
He ain't no different. But we want what the Lord gave you from the word because you didn't think of this, and what the Lord's going to give me, I didn't think it up. It's all in the word of God. Amen. I'm not going by my opinion. I'm not going by what I think. I'm going by what the word of God says. And we are definitely live. You say some good, lot of good things. Covered it all. Don't go to hell. Amen. That's, it might not sound good, but don't go. If you go, you will be sorry. You're going to be sorry. You're going to be lost forever. Don't go because Christ died for your sins. He died for you. He became sin offering for you. And by him coming to sin offering, he paid it in full. I mean, he paid it. I mean, paid it so well. The devil is raising hell in hell. He's raising hell on earth today. He's raising hell everywhere he goes. And he's trying to get the world and the population to say, the heck with the blood of Christ. People are turning down the blood of Christ every day. Every time you reject Jesus Christ, you're refusing the blood of Christ, because only the blood of Christ can sanctify you. I'm going to prove to you right now in some scriptures. If you go to the book of Leviticus, if you don't know where it's at, just write it down. You can read it after you get it. In Leviticus, the 17th chapter, starting at the 11th verse, it says, for the life, now listen to what it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you up on the altar to make atonement for your sins. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul. This is in the book of Leviticus, under the judicial law, under the law of Judaism, under the law that God gave Israel, because they had to use animal blood. And the most frequent blood that they used was the blood of lambs, bullocks, turtle doves, goats. They would use that as an atonement for their sins. In other words, in the Old Testament, it was the blood of animals that covered sin. Now, the reason they used animals, because animals are not human. Animals don't have sin in their blood. Their blood is pure in that dispensation. In that dispensation, it could only cover sin. I want you to understand this now. It only could cover sin in the Old Testament. They would use animals. They would cut their throat. They would take the blood and take hyssop and put it and sprinkle it on the people at the tabernacle, at the temple. They would do this at the temple. The high priest would go into the holies of holies and take this blood and bring it up to the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. And then he would come back out and dip that hyssop in the blood, in the basin, and sprinkle it all over the congregation. Everybody might not get the fill up, but they would see the blood sprinkling from the hyssop. The hyssop represents bitter, and sin is bitter. Sin is crazy. Sin is devastating. Sin is damnable. Sin can damn your soul to hell. It can damn your soul to hell. It's not God putting you in hell. It's you making a choice who you want to serve, who you want to trust in, who you want to believe, who you want to love, and who you want to save your soul. So in the Old Testament, it was pretty rough because they would be killing animals every year. And the animals was getting expensive. And I tell you today, I'm telling you, I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God for Jesus Christ. Because if we was living under the law today, we would run out of animals for the sacrifices of sin of mankind, and we wouldn't have no animals to sacrifice. Woo! That's how devastating sin is. It don't play with you. It don't tantalize you. It'll tempt you. It'll cause you to be led astray from the Almighty. It'll cause you to go in unbelief. It'll cause you to do wicked and abominable things against God. And if you do that, sin can damn your soul. So here we realize that the soul is in the blood. If the soul is in the blood, that means that you got 2.5 gallons of blood in your body, and it has to be in there every day. If you take half of that blood out of your body, you will die with 1.5 gallons, because you got to have 2.5 gallons of blood in your body. If you put yourself on the wrist and you let yourself bleed to death, you are going to die. Why? Because you got to have that blood in your body, because it's a fluid that runs through your body that goes to all your members, all your organs, all your construction in your body. That blood has to flow through your veins, through your capillaries, in order for you to stay alive. On the battlefield, when men would lose blood, they would go and get plasma to refill that body with blood, because the life is in the blood. Oh, hallelujah. The life is in the blood. You have blood in your body, you can live. Now, if your blood is affected or got some kind of disease, it will make you sick. You can't manipulate. You can't think. If the blood don't get to your brains, you lose your thought. If your blood, you have an aneurysm in your brain and your brain, the blood start bleeding inside your brain, you can die. You can lose your mind as far as not knowing what you are. Lord have mercy. Blood is a very important fluid. It got to be in your body in order for you to live. Now listen to this.
Amen.
There's one thing about Lucifer, and I'm going to bring him in because I want to explain something to you. The blood of Jesus Christ. Lucifer does not have a blood system. He was a created cherubim, and he rebelled against God in heaven, and God casted him out and made him an abominable branch. So Lucifer cannot be redeemed. Get this now. He was created without a blood system because he was a ministering spirit. And by him not having a blood system, if he made the wrong choice by trying to rebel against God Almighty and take his place, and God dethroned him and cast him down forevermore. Satan, Lucifer, the old dragon, the son of perdition, cannot be redeemed. So he is mad. And if he could be redeemed, God will not redeem him because, number one, he don't have a blood system. And by him not having a blood system, he cannot be redeemed. But you can. The human race can be redeemed. Why? Because the human race, the family of God, the nationalities and the peoples of the earth have a blood system, and that blood system can be redeemed. It can be redeemed because God made man in innocence. He made Lucifer in a creator. He spoke him into existence. And when Lucifer came forth, he knew right from wrong. He knew iniquity from righteousness. He knew that. And he thought that he could take God's place, which was a very, 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 very big mistake, because what got him in trouble was pride. And let me tell you, that pride has come down to earth, and there's people today that's living in pride. They are prideful to repent of their sin. They're too proud to humble themselves before God. That same pride has come from Lucifer. And so Lucifer is doomed. Can I say that again? He is doomed for what? Hell itself. Hell itself, and all the angels that were created with him are doomed. You talking about fright night? Boy, he's got a fright night to face. He's got a night, he's got a time which he will be literally cast into the lake of fire that burned with brimstone forever and ever and ever. And since Adam and Eve sinned against God Almighty, he said, I'm going to take the whole human race with me. I don't want to go to hell by myself. My God.
Come on,
he got sent. He don't want to go to hell by himself. And he hates God. He hates his creation. He hates the family of God. He hates those that had an opportunity to be redeemed. And so what is he doing? He is trying to deceive you. He's trying to deceive your children. He's deceiving the whole world because he wants you to go to hell with him. That's all he wants. He ain't care nothing about you. No,
right.
Let me tell you, and he's got the human race right now not caring for each other. He's got the human race. He's got the black race against the white race. He's got the Chinese race. Why? Because he hates the human race. He wants to destroy what God has made, and he made us wonderfully. He made us beautiful. He made us the most unique specimen that God created after his likeness and after it is you. You are a specimen of God's design.
Amen.
God designed you, and he wants you to recognize who he is. And the devil said, no, I got to keep them away. I got to keep them away from what? I got to keep them away from what? I got to keep them away from the cross of Christ. If I can keep mankind away from the cross of Christ, I got them.
That's right.
Because the cross of Christ is where no longer we use animals and turtle doves. We don't use no more animal sacrifice. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God himself, manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, was conceived in Mary's womb. And when he was conceived in Mary's womb, guess what he brought with him? He brought a blood system with him. He brought a blood that was spotless. He brought a blood that was sinless. He brought a called the precious blood of the Lamb. He says, down at the cross where my Savior died. He says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. It talks about the blood of Jesus Christ, because when Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross, he shed it for your sin, that it would not cover sin, but it would take sin out of you. Out of what? Out of your soul, out of your spirit, out of your very being, because any sin that's in your soul, the only way you can get rid of it is through the blood of Jesus Christ, not by the works, not by good looks, not by your money, not by your cars that's sitting in your garage, not by the house that you live in that's immaculate, not by your sidewalks that walk in your green grass. You can't be redeemed by nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And the world has denied the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the devil is able to conquer and deceive people. Why? Because without the blood, you can't live a holy life. You can't love nobody. You can't shout. You can't have a consistent faith where you won't turn aside. Why? If you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ in you, through what? Through the Holy Spirit. You know the song. The song goes like this. There is a fountain filled with blood, that flows from Emmanuel's vein. If the sinner falls beneath the flow, he'll lose all his guilty stain. They don't sing that no more in church. They be singing happy songs, singing all kind of songs that don't even have no sin. But it's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ to redeem the humanity of this age that we're living in. And the devil says, I'm going to tell the world in the last day to forget about the cross. Go to motivation speeches. Go to big crowds where the man gets up and talks about giving the seed and planting the seed and sending me money. Go to the congregation where people are getting money, making money, and talking about money, talking about how much they got. Don't go to no church that's not, if a church is talking about the cross, don't go. You don't need the cross. That's what the devil is telling people today, telling preachers, telling deacons, telling sisters, telling liars, whoremongers, telling, don't worry about the blood of Jesus Christ, because it's not have that power. Well, the devil is a lying wonder. If it don't have power, you ask Lucifer, why don't you try to do something? And the devil said, I can't get near that blood. That cross makes me tremble, because the power, good God Almighty, the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ can save your sin-sick soul and make you a new creature. I remember when they used to sing them songs, I looked at my hand looked new. I looked at my feet, and my feet did too. And then they would break it down and say, that wonderful day, my soul been satisfied. And they don't sing that no more, because more people today are neglecting the cross. They're rejecting the cross, and they're not meeting Jesus Christ, because the only way you can get a new life, the only way you can turn 180 degrees from sin, death, hell, and the grave, you got to know what the blood is and what the power is, because Jesus Christ made the atonement for your soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the devil said. I don't like that verse. I don't like that because it's ABC. The only thing you got to do is confess.
Amen.
And admit. The only thing you got to do is confess and admit that you are low down, rotten sinner. Uh-oh, did I hurt your feelings? Well, let me tell you something. That goes for me, too, because I used to be rotten, huh? Okay. Come on, y'all. Everybody out there that's not saved, you're rotten. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You need to quit playing around. You need to be trying to find some other way to get your little joy buds off. Woo, Lord have mercy. You need to quit. In fact, you need to quit trying to go to church and just hear a few songs in the church and the preacher get up and talk about talk about something. They don't mean a hill of beans. And if he's not talking about salvation and fleeing from the wrath to come, because whoever believes in the Son has life, whoever believes not has not life. The Bible says you are not condemned because you do something wrong. You're condemned because you will not believe on the Son of the living God. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you die and reject Christ and die lost, die unsaved, die with sin in your soul, you got to pay the penalty. The wages of sin is death. And
amen.
The death I'm talking about is a spiritual death, not a physical death, but the wages of sin is death. And death means separated from God Almighty forever. Not only separated forever, but you will burn in hell forever.
Man, I'm mercy.
What forever don't you understand? The E or the R? And what's in between? Because it shows you born. The rich man and Lazarus gives us a verified, actually event that Jesus encountered here while he was on earth. Oh, let me go over that a little bit more. The rich man was rich. He was prosperous. He had everything that the heart would desire. He would be eating every day, having banquets. He would invite his friends over every day. Oh, my God, my God. He would be partying. He would have music. He would have women. He would have all the community that was in the elite class. In the elite class, y'all hear what I'm talking about. You got some folks in the churches into the elite class. They don't associate with certain people. They're a little better than the other people. And they're selfish and they're mean. And I'm talking about in the church. I'm talking about the so-called body of Christ living like the devil himself, calling themselves going to heaven and going to shout and sing in heaven, and they got a load of sin in their heart that will never enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, except a man be what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So you lying to yourself, you're lying to the devil, you're lying to your mother, if you think you're going to go to heaven in the condition that you in, and you in a bad condition. I don't care if you don't drink, if you don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, you don't go nowhere, you sit home all the time, you don't associate with people, you can do all that and still go to hell, because it's not by works that man can be saved. It's not by your good looks. It's not by your money in your pocket. It's not by your fine women that you got. It's not by what your fornication is doing. It's about you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from your wicked ways. Because your self-righteousness, the Bible said, I didn't say it. I didn't write it. I ain't got nothing to do with writing the Bible. God wrote the Bible and he gave it to us. No, listen what it said. You all religions are like filthy, dirty rags. You know what a rag is? A rag is something that you done left down in the basement. The water done got to it. The bugs are crawling through it. And it don't have no electricity. In other words, it's falling apart. That's where your religion is. It's rotten. Because you calling yourself a Christian and living like the devil is rotten. The only way that you can dress yourself up is come to the cross. You got to come to the cross. Amen.
That's right.
I got about 10 minutes. I'm going to give it to the brother. Amen. I'm trying to get to you. Preach prophecy all day long. We can preach eschatology all day long, and you can know what's going on in the world today.
Amen.
But if you are not saved, sanctified, That don't mean jumping and shouting and rolling on the floor and speaking in tongues and the dress that you got on. That don't mean, that ain't sanctification. Sanctification can only come by the blood of Jesus Christ, because it is the sanctifier. Jesus Christ is a sanctifier.
Right.
And sanctified means to be set apart from sin. That means your soul is set apart from sin. That means your soul, your spirit is sinless. God don't see you. God don't see your sins when he shed his blood and he let his Holy Spirit come into you through the blood. And when it comes through the blood, your soul is spotless. The only thing you have a problem with now is the carnal nature, the carnality that you are tussling with. Things that you don't want to do, you do. The things that you need to do, you don't do. Paul, Apostle Paul, talked about it. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. What you mean? Paul was wretched? No, he said that carnal nature is wretched. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It thinks all kind of rotten things, and that's what you need to do. You need to be sanctified, because sanctification is growth. Growth. The more you put yourself on the knee at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, sanctify me. Let these evil thoughts rebuke them. Lord, cleanse my heart that I may not sin against you. When you have the growth, and you go through trials and temptations and pitfalls, and God is still with you, he will sanctify you that you can stand on your own two feet. And don't be so wishy-washy. There's a lot of wishy-washy saints in the house of God, and it shouldn't be. But let me tell you, I'll give you some good advice. Go to the cross, because the cross will rebuke sin. The cross will cleanse your sin and make you whiter than snow, that you can love everybody. Come on, preachers. Come on, deacons. That you can what? Love everybody. Race, creed, color, ethnic background. Denomination ain't got nothing to do with salvation. Nothing. The seven churches of Asia Minor shows you that. Smyrna was that salvation church. The church of Philadelphia was that salvation church. We definitely, automatically, don't believe that without the cross of Christ, without the suffering of Christ, without the death of Christ, without the resurrection of, without him coming back from the grave, the whole world would be on its way to hell. Lord, have mercy. Hell would be my home if it wasn't for the cross. Ooh, the looks of the color of my skin ain't got nothing to do with salvation. And some folks think today, because they're a little better off than other people, that they're going to go to heaven and God's going to put the poor folks in hell. But you better read your Bible. You better read it. I mean, you better read that. What James said, God has chosen the poor of the world to be rich in mercy, rich in love, rich in the fountain that flows from Emmanuel's vein, and love people. Because without love, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I ain't talking about this carnal love. I'm talking about divine love. I'm talking about unconditional love. And this love can only come by Jesus Christ. So what you saying, preacher? I'm saying, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, and you don't understand about this salvation, it's simple as you playing in your baby pen with ABC. Confess to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to me, not to your mama, your daddy, your sister, or your boyfriend. You don't confess to nothing. You confess to Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can forgive you. If you confess it to your friend, all that you done and what you are, I didn't know you was like that. You get to talking about, put all your business in the street. But if you tell Jesus, you have a problem with finance. You have a problem with a sex problem. You have a problem with drug problems. You have a problem with doing things that you know that is wrong to do. You got a problem with it. You can't stop it. The only way you can stop it, first thing, you got to want to stop it. And you got to know that you have sinned against God, and God hates sin. He don't hate, he hates sin. And if you living in sin and you haven't ever repented, now is the time. Now is the time, because let me tell you something. Time is running out, church.
That's
I'm talking to the church and to the world. Time is running out. We ain't got but a few more months, maybe. A few more hours, maybe. Mm. You know what's getting ready to happen? What's getting ready to happen is the church will be gone, excommunicated. What you mean? The dead in Christ, Apostle Paul said, the dead in Christ, those that died in Christ will hear the trumps of God. Not Al Hirsch, not no other trumpet going to be blown, but the trumps of God. And the Bible said the dead in Christ, Jesus Christ, those that died in Jesus Christ will hear the trumps of God. And we, good God Almighty, look at this. And we that remain alive shall be what? Caught up? We ain't going through no tribulation period. You know why? Because Noah didn't go. He went through the flood, but God delivered him. God didn't bring wrath upon Noah. God didn't bring wrath upon Lot and his family. Only one that turned back was Lot's wife, and she turned to a pillar of salt because she was a non-believer. She believed God. He didn't trust God. And Lot took his two daughters and went into the cave. And look at what's going on now. There are people today that's teaching that we're going to go through the tribulation bit. That's a lie.
Come on, doctor.
That's a big, fat lie. That's so fat, it can't even move. Let me encourage you. If you say you're going to be caught in the rapture, I guarantee
you.
If you say, if you ain't say, guess what? You're going to be left here on this earth, and you will face the greatest dictator, the greatest antichrist that ever rose on this planet. And he is going to be a beast. He's going to be an animal. He's going to be worse than an animal because he's going to slaughter people like men. You talking about coronavirus. You talk about they got one out now called the monkeypox. They got more venereal diseases coming on the scene. This ain't nothing compared to this antichrist that's going to slaughter many, many Christians that's going to accept Jesus Christ after the rapture. After the rapture, folks are going to be saved after the rapture. By who? By the 144,000 Jewish remnant. They're going to preach the gospel for 3.5 years in the first part of the tribulation part. And the second part, the two witnesses are going to come, and they're going to preach the gospel for the next 3.5 years. And out of that ministry that's coming from the Jewish people, because God already promised that he was going to promise the Jews 490 years that he would deal with him. And guess what? He only dealt with them for 483 years because they were cut off when he rolled through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. The Jewish nation was cut off. And guess what? The Gentiles was grafted in. And now the fullness of the Gentiles is almost over. And when the fullness of the Gentiles is almost over, that would be during the rapture. And when the rapture comes, the church would be gone. And then the 144,000 will be sealed, and they're going to preach for what? 3.5 years. How many people are going to get saved? I can't count them. But John said, I saw a number that no man can number, as many as the sands of the sea. And one of the elders said, where did these come from? And who are they? Because the church is gone. Where did they come from? Trials and tribulation. And guess what? If you make it through the tribulation, it would be by the grace of God. And you don't want to go through the tribulation. And so these theologians and these big shots and these half-beat jack-leg preachers talking about there ain't going to be no rapture. Well, some people don't believe there's going to be a rapture. And then some going to believe it's going to be a post-rapture. Some going to be a mid-trib rapture. There's going to be a rapture, but it ain't going to be the church because the church is going a post-tribulation. We're going to be out of here. And how long that going to be? Oh, the way that Bible prophecy is fulfilled, and I got 2 minutes. They tell me the temple is in the making. They tell me the red heifer is in the making. They tell me the menorah and the ark of the covenant is in the making. They tell me the rabbis of Israel is planning to start the temple on the May the 14th, 2022. They already got it planned. If they got it planned, that means the rapture is right on our trail. On our trail, sister. And then you got 38. 39th chapter of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel said, I saw a great multitude, Gog and Magog, coming from the north, coming down on Israel, trying to take the Middle East. Putin is the red horse in Revelation. The white horse is the Antichrist, and they won't start riding until the rapture of the church, because I'm going to be there, oh, Lord. I'm going to be there when I see the red horse ride. I'm going to be there when I see the white horse ride. I'm going to be there when I see the black horse ride. I'm going to be there when I see the pale-looking horse ride, and the church won't be there. Glory! Be to God, because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. He took the weight of sin of the world, and he's trying to tell you right now, get ready, get ready, get ready, because the king is coming. And if the king is coming, and what you need to do now, those that's hearing this word of God, those that need Jesus Christ right now, you need to fall on your knees wherever you at. And don't be embarrassed. If you're around company somewhere listening to this internet broadcast, Watchman on the Wall from Brother Jackson and Brother Bazaar, you need to fall on your knees. Say, Lord Jesus, save me, because I'll guarantee you without a shadow of a doubt, I believe it with all my heart, Jesus Christ is going to come before 2022 is over.
Come on, doctor.
There's three more feast days to be fulfilled. Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacle. And the Antichrist is alive right now. I ain't talking about yesterday. I'm talking about right now. And what you need to do, you need to recognize where the word of God is coming from. And this word of God that I'm speaking from is coming from heaven. Jesus Christ is speaking to me. Jesus Christ is speaking to Brother Jackson. We are warning you. We are telling you.
Amen.
You need to repent right now. You need to confess with your mouth and humble yourself and recognize that your sins are still with you. And the only way you can get it cleansed, it's going to take more than Lysol. It's going to take more than Clorox. It's going to take more than taking baths every day. It's going to take more than that to recognize that if you become a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, everything is new. Paul says, Romans 10:9. Brother, yeah. Work with that 10:9 a little bit, and you go ahead with your session. 10:9 says, you got to tell me what 10:9 says. Brother Jackson, go ahead.
Amen, brother. Awesome word, amen. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10. Amen. Let's take a look at it. Amen. Let's go over there real quick. Amen. I was looking through the book of Revelation. Amen. Excuse me. Amen. Says, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what we talk about. That's what the brothers talk about. It's as simple as ABC 1, 2, 3. I don't know where they get that you got to work your way into heaven. I'm yet to understand. I've been doing that over 20 years now. And I'm yet to understand why preachers preach that, and that's nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says, in fact, in all your righteousness, you are still as filthy rags. That means all your good. If you come to God before God with that, God going to look at you crazy. And he's going to say, my son over there? That's what he's going to say, doctor. He's going to say, you see, my son, he died for your sins. He died. That's what makes you righteous. Not me. It's because I simply accepted Christ. That's what makes me righteous and holy. And then all of my works that I do after I've gotten saved, that's what counts towards my rewards in heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You got to say it. If it's on your heart, I say it all the time. I tell my wife I love her because I mean it from my heart, because it's on the inside. They always say what's in a man is going to always come out. Amen.
Come out.
So if you're a loving person, it's going to, amen, doctor. Amen. If you are a loving person, it's going to come out. It's going to show. If you got the love of God on the inside, it's got to come out. You got to show love because you can't help it. Amen.
Yeah,
it's what's on this inside. because God lives in you, and because he lives in you, it's got to come out. You can't help but to show the world that you love. I can't help but to teach you. Elder Bazaar can't help but to teach you the truth and show you love, because it's what's in us. Amen. It's what God has put in us when we receive salvation. We didn't know about how great a love God had for us. Amen. At the time we got saved, we just know we wanted something different and better. Amen. But God said, man, look at here.
Yeah, look at here.
He said, look,
go ahead.
Look what all you're going to receive. Ain't that what he said?
That's what
man,
he said.
God has so much for us. And you know what? We can only give you just, no, we're not even scratching the surface.
Come
we can only
on,
give you just
it.
A little bit. We only know a little bit about what God's going to give you. Paul said it best. I hadn't seen, ears hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has for them that love him. That's what the scripture says. Amen. That's what it says.
Amen.
And we can't even begin to describe to you all the things that you're going to receive just for getting saved. We talked about this about a few weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, maybe a month ago. We talked about your benefits that you're going to get.
All right.
Amen. Your benefit,
amen,
one of the greatest things that you're going to receive is eternal life. You can't beat that. Man,
amen.
You mean to tell me I'm going to get, amen, amen, doctor. You mean to tell
amen.
Me I'm going to get eternal life? I'm going to get eternal life? I'm going to get to live in a brand new body for all eternity and never die, never get sick, never grow old, never feel pain or hurt or have to cry again. Man, sign me up. Where is that book? Sign my name on the roll. That's what I want. Sign my amen, doctor. I know that's right. Sign my name, because that's what I want. I want to be in heaven with God for all eternity. You can have this stuff down here. You can have the car, the money, the clothes, the jewelry, the men, the women, whatever is your thing, you can have it. Because
have it.
All this will pass away.
Yes,
only
it will.
What you do for Christ. Ain't that what it says, doctor?
Come on, preacher.
Only what you do for Christ shall last. Amen.
Yes.
Not how much knowledge I got, not how many degrees or how smart I am, not how much money I got in the bank, not how many beautiful clothes and shoes I got in the closet, not how many cars and jewelry, how much jewelry I got, not how much stock I got and how much real estate I own, not how many businesses I have, not how many good jobs I have. None of that's going to matter. Not accolades or degrees by men. None of that matters. All of that. The Bible says that the world shall pass away. Christ told us, love not the world.
Yeah.
Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you.
Not in you.
The Bible said, amen. And it said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, still lose his own soul?
Your soul.
Amen. Amen.
Yes,
I'm going to work a little bit. I'm going to work a little bit with the Laodicean church.
All right.
Revelation,
what
the third chapter. Amen. We're going to talk about it just a little bit, because I want you to know where we're at. This is it. You know, churches are not filling back up. There are people going back to church, but it ain't like it was. It ain't full like it was. I don't see the church parking lot wrapped around. I mean, brother, I used to see some churches have so many members. Man, they have to have police officers out there to help guide the traffic out of the churches. Now, you know that's a big church when they got police officers have to come out there and help. They have to stop traffic and let the people get out of church. You don't see that no more. And people are not going back to church like they were. The fall away of the church has already happened. And the church is the church age is just about over. We are just now
about over,
awaiting the return of Christ. We're waiting for the trumpets to sound. We're waiting for the dead in Christ to rise, and we're waiting ourselves to be caught up to meet with
caught
the
up.
Lord and earth. That's what we are waiting for, to be caught up. Amen. That's what we want.
Amen.
That's what I look forward to. Every day I look forward to Christ returning to get me and my family, friends, and loved ones, and all the saints, everybody that has accepted Christ. I can't wait for us to be in heaven. Don't you know that God loves you so much? Let me show you how much God loves you.
Go ahead,
and all your filthiness. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And all your filthiness and unrighteousness. Amen. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Don't you
all
know
right.
that God loves you? I remember when my kids used to be babies, and I remember, you know, when the babies, they go to the bathroom, you got to clean that pamper. No
yeah,
matter
yeah,
how
yeah.
filthy and dirty they are, you love those babies so much, you're going to still clean them up. Amen.
Yeah.
Put some powder on
yeah.
So wash them up good with some soap, warm soap and water. Get them smelling good so you can just give them babies a hug and some love and some sugar. God can't wait for you to come to heaven. He said, in all your unrighteousness, all your filthiness, he still looked down and he loved me. He saved my soul from a burning hell and from eternal damnation in the lake of fire. He saved my soul. That's how good God is. It, see, people talk about, oh, well, I'm going to wait till. Let me tell you something. That's the most dangerous words you can ever say, is you're going to wait to get right. Because guess what? You'll never get right. That's the truth. You'll never get right. You'll never be perfect. You'll never be ready. What I'm saying to you is, who is sick? Who is so sick that they need to go to the doctor or the hospital and say to themselves, well, I'm going to wait till I get well to go to the hospital?
Come on now. Come on
doctor,
now.
You ever done Woo. That? Have you ever done that, doctor? I ain't never done that. I remember one time I had gotten so sick. Boy, I'm talking about I was sick. Man, I thought I was about to leave this where I was so sick some years ago, doctor. I called the ambulance to come get me. I called them myself. I said, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to call. I felt so bad. I called them myself. Now, what sense does it make if I felt so bad to say, oh, I'm going to wait till I get the feeling better, then I'm going to call the ambulance to come take me to the emergency room? That don't make any sense. That don't make no sense. That don't make no sense. You got to come to God right now in your sickness. You have to come to him right now while you need him. That's how that works. You got to come
yeah.
to his slave first, and then the doctor will begin to work on you. Then the doctor will prescribe a prescription of medication to heal your sickness. Amen? That's what the Bible
Amen.
Talks about. Amen? God will heal you. He will heal you, but you got to come to him. Amen. That's all you got to do. You got to come to God. That's all you got to do. And it's real simple and easy. He'll hear you. Like the brother said, God will deliver you from anything. If you continue to ask him, it don't matter if it's drugs, alcohol, money, men, women, sex. It don't matter what it is. It don't matter what your habit is or what your vice is. God is able to deliver you. Keep asking him. You know how it is when your kids keep reminding you what they want for Christmas or
yeah.
their birthday? They don't always remind you. Dad, you still going to get – my kids used to remind me. They were little, Dad, you still going to get this for me? Dad, remember you said you were going to do it. They're going to always remind you.
Yeah,
Amen. When they really want something, your kids going to remind you. It's the same thing with us. We got to keep reminding God. God, you remember I was asking you to take this thing from me? Can you take this thing from me? Deliver me from this, God. You keep asking him and fasting and praying, and God will take it from you. I don't care what it is. God can remove whatever it is out of your life. Amen. And deliver you from sin. He will definitely deliver you from a sinful life. Amen. I can attest to that. He'll deliver you from a sinful life. Amen. He will deliver you from walking in sin. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And so we just got to keep asking it. We can't give up. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm going to work with this Laodicean church. Amen. Watch what it says. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 14. This is what it says. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things said the Amen. This talking about Christ, amen. This was Christ talking to John, amen. That's who it is. Christ talking, and he's talking to John. He said, write these things, said the Amen. The Amen is Christ. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Who was that? That's your Lord and Savior. Go over to Colossians, the first chapter, and read Colossians, the first chapter, and you'll read about how Christ is the beginning of all things and how he creates all things. Amen? Now, watch what verse 15 says. 15 says, I know thy works. I said earlier that Christ knows your works. Amen? You can't hide from God. He said that thou art neither cold nor hot. What is he saying? He said that you're not out in the world. You're not just all out there in the world. Amen? You're not just totally, just disregarding God. Amen? But he said, or are you hot? In other words, you ain't in here loving people like you're supposed to. Amen? But he said, I would thou was cold or hot. In other words, I'd rather you just either be out there in the world and just not even come to church, just be out there with the rest of the sinners instead of in the church faking and shaking. Keep it real, like the young folks say. I'd rather you keep it real. See, there's so many. See, what Christ is basically saying to y'all, he can't stand fake people. He can't stand fakers. That's how I am. I can't stand fake people for nothing. Oh, I can't stand
Hey, man, I know what you mean.
When I see him, I go the other way now. I ain't gotten to the age where I ain't gotten so mature. I can't deal with him. Stand the sight of him. I'll speak to him. I'll be cordial and nice and speak to him, but I keep going. I don't have time to smile in nobody's face and not be real about it because I'm not fake. I don't have time to sit there and play like this and
come
like
on,
that.
Preacher.
I don't have time for it, amen. I'm too mature for that. You can keep it order with the kids, with the junior high school kids and the high school kids and the young folks. I don't have time for fakeness no more. Amen. See, you'll deal with certain things when you're young, in your 20s, maybe in your 30s, but when you start getting towards your 40s and 50s, it's just some things you don't tolerate no more. I say, I ain't got time for games. Amen.
Right.
This is what Christ said. I ain't got time for games. Watch what he said. He said, so then. Because thou art lukewarm. So what he says, so because you are, so this is what you want to be, and because you are lukewarm, you're in the church, amen, but well, you're of the church, but not in the church, meaning that you attend the church, you go to church, but you really ain't got no love in your heart. You hate people, you're hateful, you're spiteful, you ain't got the love of God in your heart. You dress up like you're a saint. You're wolf in sheep clothing. You smell good. You look good. You drive a nice car. You got money in the bank. You think you're better than everybody. You got your nose in the air. You don't want to hug people or tell people that you love them. You don't want to sit next to folks. You don't want You don't want nothing to do with certain folks in the church. You cliquish. God said that. Guess what? He says, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Lord, have mercy.
Because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. In other words, what God is saying is that, man, you worse than the people that's in the world. You're a faker. You're a wolf in sheep clothing. You're a faker. That's it. You are a faker. He said, I don't want nothing to do with you. He said, I'll spew you out. And the last time I remember, if you spit something out, that means you don't want nothing to do with it. You can't be saved. If he's spitting you out, you can't be saved. He's not accepted.
Come on, preacher.
You can't
break it down.
Be saved. He don't want nothing to do with you. He said, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I don't want nothing to do with you. Basically, you're lying. That's what you're doing. You're living a lie.
Yes.
We already know the Bible says that a liar will not tarry in his eyesight. You're living a lie. Do you know how many church people are living a lie? They in church smiling. I done been around. I just sat there and just look at them. You see them out in the store, they can't speak. They walk by you or they dodge you like they don't see you. I actually had somebody do that one time. I'll never forget. I saw this lady at church on a Sunday. Saw her during the week, the same week, in the parking lot. Spoke to her, say, sister, how you doing? Now I know when nobody in the parking lot, brother, but me and her. Don't you know she walked right by me like she didn't hear me or see me? I was in shock. I'm like, boy, this the woman. I said, boy, look at her. Just like you said, brother, there's going to be so many folks that's going to bust hell wide open. And when I say they're going to bust hell, they religious. You just religious.
Yeah.
You ain't got no faith. You ain't got no relationship with Christ. You just religious. You probably don't fit in the world no more. So you figure you come hang out at the church, not really love nobody, not really get saved. Don't study your Bible. Don't read your Bible. Don't come to Wednesday night or Sunday school Bible study. You just attend because it's the thing to do because you feel like you fit in. Amen. You're tired of the world. The world is tired of you more like what it is. So you come to church. You say, huh, I found me a place to fit in where I can continue my fakeness.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
He said, I don't want nothing to do with you. Come on to Christ. Come on and stop the nonsense. Come on now. Come on and stop the game. Come on, stop playing. Get saved. Watch what it says in verse 17. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Now, again, that's your folks that are living good. They lavish. The church is living good this day and age. You can say, what's how we know we in the end? The church is living lavishly. Living good. Never seen so many BMWs and Mercedes. Bro, I remember when I was a kid, you didn't see cars like that on the church.
Not in our community
you did. Even I saw a few Cadillacs, and that kind of told you who had some money a little bit. But you didn't see no Bentleys and Beamers and Lexuses and Mercedes Benz and with some folks drive Rolls Royces to the church. I ain't never seen so many Bentleys in the church, so many $100,000 cars in the church parking lot. I said, boy, the church living good, boy. The church folks got money now at this day and time. Church living good, brother. Brand new Cadillac, Escalade, Infinity SUVs, what they call that other SUV, Range Rover SUV, Lincoln SUV. Brother, they living good, eating good. Steak after church. They ain't got to go to First Capital. They living so lavish, so good. They don't want no First. Remember First Capital? All of a sudden, you go, they don't want that no more. First, what's that?
No.
They don't want no First Capital. They don't want none of that stuff. I remember we used to go to them little cafeterias, you know, after church back in the day, all the saints used to go. Now saints ain't gotten so big shot. They want big time steak. They want Texas Longhorn Steakhouse. Texas Ranch Steakhouse, old-fashioned steak. They want the big stuff, the 30, 50, and 60, the $100 plate.
Come on, preacher.
Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with living good. I'm not bashing you for having it going on. I'm really not.
No.
But don't be fake. Show love. Amen. I knew a brother that had money, but he showed love, him and his wife. They were loving people. They was. Amen. They were some loving people. I remember them. I mean, the brother lived good. He used to tell me about the money he used to make back in the 70s. He was making six figures. Wasn't nothing to him back in the 70s. He was living good. His brother, he was a construction contractor. He had big jobs. But he was. What I liked about him, you know, God had blessed him to be a humble man.
Amen.
He gave you the shirt off his back. It's very few people that are like that. He speak to you. He wouldn't act funny. When he saw you, he showed love to his wife. And this brother had money. I ain't all know if he's a millionaire or not, but he had some money. I know the man because I know the man. Amen. I was around him. I hung around him for years. Amen. He shared some things with me. But the point that I'm making is it's okay to have these things. But there's a way to be a loving person, be a person that loves God, be a person that loves your neighbor like you love yourself, just like you love yourself. You think high of yourself, think high of the next man. Even though he may not have a car like he may not have the money in the bank and make the money that you make every year, you may be a millionaire. Amen. But be a humble millionaire. Be a person that's humble. Be a person that's there for people. A person that's open. Don't be like you just so high class that I can't hang around. I can't speak to them. No, don't be like that. See, you're going to miss heaven for trying to do what? For what? Trying to prove to man that you all that and then some? Don't miss heaven.
Come on, please.
Don't miss heaven. I'm going to tell you right now. Don't miss heaven for silliness. That's silly. That's child. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Something clicks are childish. I ain't never understood what's the purpose of a click in the church. That's childish. Acting like you don't want to speak to somebody in your church, that's childish. Acting like you don't want to hug nobody in your church, that's child. Rolling your eyes at somebody in church, that's child. Talking like you want to fight somebody in church, that's child. I've been in church with folks going back. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? Like, they about to fight in church.
Come on.
Lord, what is going on? We in church, and y'all
church.
Carrying on like this? Where is the love? Come on now.
Ooh.
Man, I'm just telling you about this Laodicean church. It says, watch this. It says, and increase with goods, verse 17, and have need of nothing. I know people like that. And knowest not thou art wretched. That was the Bible said, you are wretched. And miserable. They are miserable. These type of people are miserable. Don't think that they have it. They are miserable. And poor. That means poor in spirit and blind in the spirit. And you're naked spiritually. So
Ooh.
There's three things, man. You are suffering. You're poor spiritually. You're blind spiritually. And you're naked spiritually. And on top of that, the Bible says you are wretched and miserable. Yep, that's
Ooh.
True.
Lord,
people stuff, they got it going on, got a good job, but they so ugly and so mean. I don't like people like that. Never have. But watch what Christ said. I'm going to get right to the bro. Watch what Christ said. Christ said, I counsel thee. In other words, I give you my word, and to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Christ is offering salvation. He's extending to you Romans 10:9-10, the plan of salvation. Through who? How's he doing that? Through me? Through Elder Bazaar? Through the church? Through the pastors that are preaching the real gospel? That are teaching love and salvation? That's how he's doing it. He said that thou mayest be rich. Now, if you really want to be rich, see, it ain't about being rich in this life. It's about being rich spiritually. He said that if you want to be rich, that means that you have eternal salvation and you have a mansion in heaven stored up waiting
Uh-oh.
For you.
Uh-oh.
You have wealth waiting
yes,
on
Yes, sir.
And he said that,
yes,
and
sir.
You have a white raiment that thou mayest clothe. And that the shame of thy nakedness, spiritually is what it's talking about, do not appear. Lord, have mercy. See, when you're washing the blood, oh, man, all that you've done won't appear. It's getting. It's like they say that it's been expunged from the record. You'll never see your record. What all you did, amen, I'm just going to be whether it was in secret, whether it was open, whether they knew about it because you are covered in the blood. Nobody ever know what you did but Christ.
Hallelujah.
He said, I'll cast it. Amen, doctor. He said, I'll cast it, what? In the sea of forgetfulness. It'll never ever be known. It'll never ever be brought up again. He'll never condemn you. He's saying that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. And thou mayest see. Don't you see how verse 18 was the opposite of verse 17? You'll be able to see that your eyes will be anointed. You won't be poor, but you'll be rich. And that Woo! You that is going to clothe the shame of thy nakedness. Don't you see how it's the opposite of verse 17? This is what Christ God has to offer you. Watch what he said. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Amen.
Be therefore and repent, and he will chastise you. Boy, let me tell you.
Oh, come on, preacher.
He'll humble you, boy. When I tell
yes,
you, I'm a witness of that. Man, I laugh about it now, but boy, God will humble you. He'll
humble
make you put your chest down. He'll humble you. Amen. If you love him and he loves you, he'll humble you. Trust me, I'm a living witness of that, boy. I tell you, God will have you on your knees. Amen. Behold, I stand there. Amen.
Yes, he will.
You laugh, but he will, brother. It's funny, but it's the truth.
Yeah,
he had you on your knees, boy, praying,
yes,
Lord, I repent. Lord, forgive me, Lord. man. That's real. And I thank him for it. I thank God for his grace and his mercy. Amen. I thank him for his chastisement. We got to thank him for the good and the bad. I thank him for chastisement. You got to thank God for his whooping. You need a whooping sometime. I thank him for it because it makes you straighten up. Amen. Repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him.
Come in.
And we'll sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Lord, have mercy. That's heaven. Come on now. Even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the seven churches. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it over to my brother. Don't you know you're going to get a glorified body that won't get sick? I won't need glasses. I won't need food or water, though I can still eat and drink. And don't you know you're going to get to rule here by Christ's side and govern with God on this earth for 1,000 years? And then we'll transition into eternal life. We'll live with him for all eternity with a brand new body. Lord, have mercy. Man, that's
Hallelujah.
A wonderful thing. Hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead, doctor. Take it over. Hallelujah. Take it over, doctor.
All right, brother.
Tell me something good.
You're a bad boy. You're preaching the gospel, man. I love it. What you're telling us about this power in the cross and by how Jesus Christ gave his life that you could have and we could have eternal life, and that all the nations of the world, all 70 nations, have an opportunity to come to Christ, and they will. A remnant will come to Christ, and then majority will be lost because they rejected Christ. But we thank God for giving us an opportunity to preach this wonderful gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'll tell anybody that I see, anybody that I talk to, anybody that I shake hands with, it's worth it all. It's worth it all to be a child of God. I don't care what the devil tried to deter and try to deny the word of God. It will be worth it all. Just before we close, we got about a half an hour. Amen. We've been talking about salvation. We've been talking about repentance, talk about sanctification, talking about absolutely about the blood of Jesus Christ, what it does. We'll be talking about the tribulation period and the rapture of the church. We've been talking about the 144,000, this one, the two witnesses. We've been talking about Armageddon, which is coming up at the end of the tribulation, talking about the rebuilding of the temple and the Antichrist entering the temple. Oh, man, yeah. There's a lot to cover. But there's a point where, man, where it's all going to come to an end. And they tell me, according to the signs and times and the times and seasons, it'll be by 2029. We'll be here on earth. We'll be here on earth doing the millennium reign because the church will be coming back with Christ. I'm coming back riding a white horse. Do you hear me? Do you read me? Are you coming in clear?
Amen.
This is... Coming on in. We're riding on white horses, coming back to the earth to fight the last battle in this dispensation that would be the battle of Armageddon. That's when all the nations and all the armies and all of mankind will make a total rebellion against the Almighty God of the heavens and the earth. And he smote them with the rod of iron, and he will smote them with the spirit of his mouth like a two-edged sword, cutting down, and it's going to be so bloody. Oh, you talking about blood. Blood's going to run from Armageddon 200 square miles. And it's going to be filled with blood up to the horse's bridle, and the Lord is going to let his spirit drag in that blood. Because he said, vengeance is mine. I shall repay, says the Lord of hosts.
Right,
let
amen.
Me tell you,
that's the word.
That ain't Satan will be bound. The devil and every fake, false, rebellious angels and demons, the Nephilim and the
the demigods will be put in the bottomless pit. This makes my heart jump, because Satan will be done with all the havoc he has caused on the earth for 6,000 years.
That's right.
He will be in the bottomless pit. The Antichrist and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire at the end of the tribulation. They will be hell for 1,000 years, the Gehenna. Satan will be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And the 1,000 years are up. Satan will be let loose one more time. I'll get there. I want you to get this now. He will be let loose one more time after the 1,000-year rule. Because God has tested man for 7 dispensations. And I'll name the 7 dispensations for you. The first one was called innocent. The second was called conscience. The third was called self-government, 11th chapter of Genesis. Self-government was the Tower of Babylon. Man tried to rule the world without God. And guess what? The devil made a mess out of it. And man is still trying to rule the world without God. Satan wants to rule. And don't let him rule your life. Don't let the devil tell you. You know something? People get to understand. Don't get mad at the person because he's acting up and he's cussing at you and he's lying at you. Don't blame him. He's got a devil. He's got a devil in him. Because the devil has wickedness. He cannot do right. I don't care what you say. And so the third one is called law. And man failed that. The next one is promise. God promised man that he would send a savior. And he didn't believe in that, especially the Jews.
And amen.
The fifth one is called grace. That comes after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I come to fulfill the law. What is the fulfillment of the law? The fulfillment of the law is love, L-O-V-E, capital L-O-V-E, love forever, love, God's love, divine love, everlasting love, nothing like love. It's nothing like the love of God. And guess what? Man has trampled over the grace of God.
They
took God for granted. God will forgive you if I go rape a person. God will forgive me. God will do this. If I lie, cheat, steal, God, yes, he will forgive you, but he don't want to forgive you on no continual basis. He wants to forgive you forever. And the only way to get forever is through the cross. Come on. Come on. The cross of Christ. Guess what? Grace is almost over. Grace is almost over. After grace, there will be a last test. And guess what? Man got F on all 6 dispensations that has been fulfilled. He failed grace. He failed promise. He failed the conscience. He failed everything that God has given him opportunity, and he can't do it. And under grace, he got a bad F. But I thank God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he saw fit to save my soul. And let me tell you, I'm no better than you, and you no better than me, and he can save your soul too. The only thing you've got to do is have a divine breakdown. Be broken that you have sinned against such a loving, merciful, holy God. The next test that man will be tested after the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon, when Christ comes back to the earth with the church will be ushered into the millennium reign. The millennium reign, the last test that man will be tested with. And that is the Holy Spirit will cover the earth like the water covered the sea. The devil will be bound. And those that came through the tribulation in their natural bodies, in their body of flesh, they will enter into what? They will enter into the millennium reign and do what? They will repopulate the earth.
Amen.
You see what I said? God is going to give man one more test, and that test is he's going to prove to man, he's going to prove to the angels, he's going to prove to the cherubims and the seraphim, he's going to prove to the heavens and earth. There's one sin that you cannot blame on the devil. This sin you cannot blame on the devil. All other sins is coming from Lucifer, but this one sin is unbelief. Unbelief is sin of mankind. That's man's fault. And they will repopulate the earth. God will wipe out all other sins, but he will give a man opportunity to believe or reject. And Jesus Christ will build a temple during the millennium reign, and Jesus Christ will set up the temple during the millennium reign. And while he's in the millennium reign, the saints of God will take their positions as priesthood. They will take their position as royal priesthood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and God will give them a position in the millennium reign to rule and reign over nations during the millennium reign. He will put them in a position. Only Jesus Christ can put you in the position. Why? Because you are his child, and it depends on what position you get. It's how you serve the Lord here on this earth. If you had a parents, if you didn't serve the Lord and kept the faith, if you did more things in the carnality and doing more things in the spirit, then you won't have too much of a position. Because what you done, what you judge, you're going to be judged the good works and the bad works. And if you work your soul salvation out and you kept the faith, and at the end of your journey, you can say, well done. And old Pastor Paul said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Now laid up for me is a crown of life, not for me only, but for those that love the Lord. God said, I got a position for you. I'm going to give you some crown. And good God Almighty, I'm working on my crown. I'm working on five crowns. I don't know if I get all five of them, but I believe one man did get all five. That was Pastor Paul. Woo! Because he kept the faith, and we got some men on earth right now that kept the faith, and they may get some crowns. I don't know. Only thing I know is an opportunity for you to get these crowns. Guess what? After the millennium reign, men are during the millennium reign, men will live like 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, 1,000 years.
That's right.
There'll be less death during the millennium reign than any millennium that man has lived in. In other words, men will live a long time, and God is going to repopulate the earth within the 1,000 years. And the saints of God will participate in teaching and preaching and telling the people where we came from and how we got here. And most of all, we will let them know that the cross, oh God Almighty, help me, Jesus. The cross of Christ is the reason and the cause that we can be here during the millennium reign, and the world is going to witness every part of the human anatomy of Jesus Christ. They're going to see the nail prints in his hand. They're going to see the pierced side. They're going to see the crown of thorns that was stuck on his head. They're going to see the whips on his back. They're going to see the loving glory of Jesus Christ, God's Son, for 1,000 years. And as they say, I hear the brother say, there ain't going to be no more growing old and feeble. There ain't going to be no more. No organization, no more policemen, no more prisons, no more welfare. Hallelujah. No
hallelujah.
Rape, there ain't going to be no more murders. There ain't going to be no more wicked cities. There ain't going to be no more lying and cheating. There ain't going to be no more pornography. There ain't going to be no more homosexuals. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's going to be what? It's going to be almost as you was in heaven itself, because what God is doing is gradually bringing humanity back into the rightful state, and he has to do it on this last 1,000 years. All right. The devil's bound 1,000 years, right? And guess what? We're going to have a joyful time. We'll be able to go to other planets. We'll be able to go, ooh, we'll be
Amen.
Able to.
My, come on, doctor.
I would be here for eternity to try to tell it all. But I'm going to tell you this, the close of this. Satan will be let loose one more time. The 20th chapter of Revelation gives you the picture of him being bound in a bottomless pit. Then he said after the 1,000 years, he will be set loose. When he set loose, those that did not receive Christ during the millennium reign, they will take side of Satan because of their unbelief, and Satan will gather the last army. Lord have mercy. He just won't give up.
He sure won't.
He give up. But I tell you one thing, he won't give up on you until you what? Come to the cross. If you don't come to the cross, he's going to wrap you up around his finger. He's going to try to damn your soul. He's going to try to rip you apart and cast into the lake of fire because he said, come on and go with me. Come on and go with me. And the world is saying now, come on, Satan. I'm going to have a party in hell. But let me tell you something. There ain't no parties in heaven. Ain't no party in hell. We're going to be working. We ain't going to be flying around like little old cherubim and doing this. We're going to be working. We're going to be serving the Lord forevermore. We're going to be
Amen.
We're going to be eating. We're going to be able to drink. We're going to be able to have games. Oh, man, you thought we're going to be able to have our families never separated again. Hallelujah. God got other planets that we don't even know of because our eyes have never seen, the ears have never heard, the thing that God has prepared for them. Why don't you want to go to heaven? Woo, you're a fool. If you went on this old planet trying to make ends meet, lying, cheating, and stealing, trying to get a little kick off, you better come on and kneel at the foot of the cross. Because after the cross, there's nothing that you can come to Jesus by but his blood. And his blood is powerful. All right, we're getting ready to come to a close. There's going to be a last battle where Satan is going to be annihilated. He's going to be put into the bottomless pit. And after that, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And he's going to get around Jerusalem and try to overtake Jerusalem, just like Gog and Magog is trying to do it now. Just like Megiddo, the Armageddon, they're going to try to do it 1, 2, 3 times. They're going to try to capture Jerusalem. And Putin is going to fail, and Armageddon is going to fail, and the battle of Gog and Magog after the millennium reign is going to fail. So now Satan is done. Did you hear what I said? Satan is done now. He was cast into the lake of fire. And after he's cast into the lake of fire, he's going to burn forever. And then God himself, the omnipotent one, the almighty, the everlasting father, the God of the universe, is going to call all the wicked dead from the beginning of Adam all the way across until the end of millennium. He's going to call all the wicked dead from their graves, whether they in the sea, whether they've been killed in the woods, whether they've been killed in an airplane crash or whatever, those bodies going to get up and stand before who? Stand before the great white throne. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You got the answer. The wicked got the answer. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will repay. And what the wicked done gave God is a bunch of garbage. And God said, I'm going to throw this garbage right back at you.
Right.
And they tell me the books were open, and another book was open, and all the books were open, and God is going to cause the earth to flee away, and they're going to stand out in the middle of the universe, in the middle, in the center of eternity.
Right.
The great white throne. All the Hollywood movie stars did not accept Jesus Christ. They're going to be there. All the dictators that didn't get converted before they died are going to be there. Every wicked person that ever lived is going to be there, great and small, black and white, yellow and green, whatever color you are, you're going to stand before the great white throne.
Mm-hmm.
And then the books are going to open, and they're going to say, I can't find your name written in the book. I can't find your name. And if God can't find your name, then your name is not in the Lamb's book of life or in the book of life. Mm. And he said all those names that were not in the book of life, what happened? They were cast. Now, wait a minute. I thought you had an opportunity to walk. No. Because there ain't nobody. Yes. When you see hell, if you see a volcano.
Yes, sir.
All that fire and all that brimstone, you ain't going to be walking down in there.
Yes.
You ain't going to walk down in there, brother. Come on. Come on, liar. Yes. Come on. Backbiter, come on, whoremonger, come on, lesbianism. I'm not down on lesbianism. I'm saying what I'm saying. You can't be a lesbian and go to heaven. You got to be born again.
Amen.
You got to be changed. And here the angels are going to participate of picking up human beings and throwing them in hell.
That's right.
By the thousands, by the millions. Jesus Christ said, broad is the way. And the brothers already quoted, broad is the way that leadeth into destruction. And many, and when God said many, woo, that's a lot of people.
That's right.
That leadeth into destruction. And people are living a broad life now. Party, 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 drinking, killing, murdering, raping, doing party, party, all over and over, continually sinning. Many people are going to be cast in the hell by angelic angels because they're not going to walk. Even the wicked don't want to go to hell. And they ain't going to say, they ain't going to tell the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go and run and jump off. No, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire where burneth brimstone. And God himself is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to renovate this earth and burn it and what you call it? He's going to purify the whole heavens.
Amen.
And hell will be cast into outer darkness away. Well, I mean, how far? Beyond my mind. I don't know how many miles, but it's going to be cast out of darkness where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Please, whoever listening to me tonight, whoever listening to Brother Jackson, don't die lost.
Amen.
I just don't die lost. Just repent.
That's right.
And tell God, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm even sorry that I was born in sin, but I couldn't do nothing about that. I'm sorry about that right now. I'm sorry I was born in sin, but I had nothing to do with that. Adam and Eve did that, but I got personal sin that I've done. And I said, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me and sanctifying me and cleansing me so when I meet you, I'll be pure. And that's what you want, to be pure. And the only one can make you pure is the loving Christ. Oh, do he love you so much?
Yes,
he loves you so much. He was willing enough to become like you. What? He became sin. Whose sin? Your sin. My sin. Your mama's sin. Your daddy's sin. The football player's sin. Every sin that you can think of. The mafia, the secret society sin. They sinners too. They born in sin.
Amen.
They might be secret society. But it's the money. They got to be saved too. And there's going to be a whole lot of them there at the judgment seat. There's going to be a whole lot of them.
Right.
They deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They deny that Jesus Christ is God. And when you deny that, you become a liar and an antichrist. My friends, my brothers and sisters, this is biblical. I couldn't quote this scriptures because it would take too long for me to find the scriptures and do it. But I tell you one thing, you got to read it for yourself. You got to read it for yourself because you have more time. It's in the Bible.
That's right.
And if it's in the Bible, just read the Bible. You got to study your Bible. You got to follow your knees and say, Lord, help me. I want to know about this thing because I haven't heard it like this. I haven't heard it like this in my own church. But I tell you one thing, thank God. For my father and the early church pioneers, they preached Revelation when I was born. I heard it all my life. And I know the brother appreciates his father for preaching the whole Bible.
Amen.
Preach the whole Bible. There is a hell, my friends, and there is a heaven. I could talk a little bit more, but I'm going to give the brother the last 5 or 6, 7 minutes to open that altar again. And I hope we said something today that would inspire you. If you don't do nothing else great, do something greater than anybody can do for you. Come to Christ. How? Good God Almighty. Come to Christ. Repent of your sins. Brother, walk with it.
Amen. Awesome, doctor. Amen. Awesome word. Good. Amen. We thank everyone for listening. Amen.
We're grateful for salvation. Grateful for our health and strength. We're grateful for Christ's ultimate sacrifice. Means a lot to us. Amen. As the brother said, we're thankful for the pioneers that came before us. Amen. We're doing what we can. Amen. We do the best that we can. Pray for us as we'll be praying for you and your loved ones. Amen. This is an important time that we live in. It's always important. But as the saints of God, amen, we don't want to see nobody lost. We know that the Bible says that many shall fall by the wayside. But if you're hearing this word, if you're hearing us and you have this opportunity, man, you don't know how great of an opportunity you actually have to receive salvation, to be delivered from your sins, to be delivered from, amen, whatever it is that the devil has you with. You could be delivered from that today. Amen.
Amen.
I told the people at church, told a young man yesterday, I said, brother, nothing matters. I understand that we've all been through things. I'm quite sure that people have been through far more worse things than I have. I can bet you that. Amen. I bet you people have been through some horrendous stuff in their life. But don't you know that God is going to make everything right when Christ come back?
Woo! Yes, indeed, brother.
He's going to make everything right. We don't want what happened to you when you was young, when you was little, or when you was a teenager or a kid, or when you was in high school, or when you was in college, or, you know, just throughout your life. You know, the brother just expressed to me, just seemed like, you know, I've been knowing him, and I know some things about him and some things in his life. And it just seemed like this brother is just always going through things. But I just want him to know the only way that you're going to get delivered from them things that you come to Christ. You can't reject God, because God can't protect you and deliver you if you don't come to him.
Come on now. Come on.
It's just like the doctor. You can't get healed if you don't go to the doctor. The doctor can't give you no medicine, no antibiotics to make you well. I remember last year, brother, I don't know what was going on, but I got a sore throat. I hadn't had a sore throat in over 10 years. That's about a long time. I said, man, why do I have a sore throat? I said, I ain't had a sore throat in years. So I didn't think anything of it. So, you know, I took some over-the-counter medicine and bought me some orange juice. And this sore throat wouldn't go away. I thought, brother, this lasts for a week. And I ain't never had no sore throat over a week. I said, something ain't right. I went into the doctor, and I always tell y'all, nobody sets up and just say, oh, I'll wait till it heals and gets better, then I go to the doctor. That's not how it works. I went to the doctor and said, man, I ain't never had this. Can you give me some? He gave me some antibiotics. I said, yeah, I'll give you some pills. He said, you're right. That's unusual for a person to have a sore throat over a week. That's not usual. Like a week and a half went by. He gave me some antibiotics, and the next day I started to feel better, started to go away. And by the second day, after I started taking it, it was gone. The point that I'm making is you got to come to Christ. If you want to go, and no matter how bad something has happened in your life, drug addict, prostitution, no matter if you have taken somebody's life, God is able to deliver you. I'm telling you that right now.
If
you sold your soul, only God can deliver you from sin and hell and death and the lake of fire. Family, we love you. We know the time is almost up. We'll be back on this upcoming Wednesday night. God be willing. Amen. We're going to continue this thing. We're going to drill this thing in. Amen. We're going to get a little bit broader. Amen. We're going to bring this thing in to the return of Christ until he calls us home, whichever one is prayer. But we're not going to stop because we love you. We do it because we love you. We come in no shape, form, or fashion. We just want you to be saved. We want to see you in heaven one day soon. We want to see you in heaven. Amen. What'd you say, Doctor?
I said very soon. Very soon.
Amen. That's right, brother. Very soon. Amen. We love you all. We're not.